This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 279. Time travel hurts my head. Of course, I could go back and change that. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are back after our mini breakdown week.
Sorry we weren't around.
We were in mourning. But we have come out of that state, and we're in a better place.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I'm telling myself still.
I told my shrink that.
That's
she
good.
Didn't believe me.
No. Well,
I don't lie very well.
No, you don't. You're actually a really bad
liar.
I'm
a terrible liar.
You really should just not try to even attempt to lie because you out yourself within the first 4 seconds of your lie.
I know.
Every time.
I could never be a spy. Are you
no.
a spy?
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
This is what they told me about my performance review.
They told me, Panda, this job's not for you. And I told them,
I can do it.
I can do this. I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Anyway. We have a all new episode for you guys. And here's the deal. Guess what? We're talking anime and video games today.
Yay!
All right, we're hitting two out of the three.
Yay!
That's like a D?
70? No.
In some places, 66% is a D in some places.
It's a D plus.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yay!
We're just skating by.
Yay, being above average.
But only... Actually, no, D is below average.
Oh, it is.
C
yay
is
for being average. Higher below average. We're higher of the below average because we're not an F.
Right, we're totally not.
We're
an F.
Close to a C.
We're closer to a C than we are to an F.
Yes. Yay!
Yay!
That's absolutely horrible.
That's really bad. We have to get better.
I've only gotten one F in my college experience. Only one.
I didn't get any Fs. I got all incompletes.
Ooh! That's bad.
No, it means I didn't complete it. Doesn't mean that I failed it. It just means I didn't complete it. Cause I withdrew.
Yeah. So actually, you got a W, not even an incomplete. You got a W.
Well, first I got the incompletes, and then I had
then they turned into
then,
W's.
Then they turned into big W's for winning.
Yeah, and you know what happens after a withdrawal? After a bit, they technically turn into F's.
Yeah, but guess what? I don't care. Because I withdrew.
It's like, I'm probably going to fail this course. I should withdraw before they can enter that
that's
in.
That's not the reasoning.
That's what a lot
it.
Of people do now.
Yes, that's, you know, and I can understand that.
Like, shit, I
but people,
wasn't doing good with
people,
my African-American
don't go
studies.
Withdrawal. Go for the incomplete. Then just sleep with your professor.
I had the longest incomplete in my African-American lit class, and then I wrote my thesis 2 years later and got an A. Because I remembered all my material from 2 years prior.
Wow.
That's
really African
Yeah, African American lit because I got, you remember my emergency surgery?
Right.
It was right during finals
right,
and I couldn't be on
right,
campus.
Right.
And my teacher's like, get it to me whenever. 2 years later, here. You remember all that? Yeah, I have all the books. I reread them.
A. I'm giving you an A without even looking because you're
oh no,
awesome.
He read it because he corrected it and then faxed it back to me.
That's sweet. But let's get into the good stuff. Because we got a lot of good stuff, all right? We got a bunch of really fantastic things on the horizon, okay? March is just femshep, just saying. I'm so excited for Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
I can't even, like, contain myself, but I'm doing my best. But
before, Mass Effect 3 boner!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a lot... of Mass
Effect 3. My pants are going to be stiff this March.
That's because you need to wash them. But
I was going to say, it's because I need to run more.
Okay. Well, that
too. To lose weight, running, loosen your pants.
I'm going to, you know what?
Unless you are, you get an athletic boner, because then gonna you're just tight.
You said they were going to be stiff.
Oh, I need to stop putting starch on my pants.
You need to stop starching your pants. But until we get there, you know, there are a few other games that, you know, have popped up that
don't be surprised about what I'm talking about, because I'm not surprised.
No one should be surprised.
Not really.
Not at all. In the remote or not. And because your topic is so dense.
It's not dense.
It is dense.
No.
It is. It's got, no, it's got mass.
It does, but I've read all of it, and I'm only going to talk about everything in a matter of my personal experience. So it's actually not nearly as dense as you think. It's actually kind of vapid and really? Shallow.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Okay, you can't throw up the Isaac. Nobody can see you except for me. So anywho.
Two thumbs up.
Anyway, let's get into it. So I actually was watching Pandalicious play the game that she's going to be talking about today, which is Final Fantasy 13-2.
Yep.
And because that's really the only way that I can enjoy Final Fantasy. You know, if you're a long time or even short time listener,
if you listened to a couple of episodes ago where I tried to explain it without actually playing it, you'll know that that was a big gobbledygook. Now I've played it, and I have a much better idea of what I'm talking about.
And you will also know that I am not a fan of turn-based RPG.
Nope.
I'm still not a fan of turn-based RPG.
In the matter of playing them.
Of the matter of playing them. I appreciate them for what they are. Okay, I cannot say this enough. I am not throwing haterade on, you know, turn-based RPGs. So don't get
they're
that
just
twisted.
Not for you.
I know, because there are people like, why are you hating? I'm like, I'm not hating. They're just not for me because I don't enjoy them myself.
I do.
I see their value. I see the people that enjoy them.
Like
and
me.
Really get engrossed in them.
Me.
And they have a fantastic experience.
Me.
And I'm happy for you people.
Yay.
I'm not one of those people.
Boo.
What you booing that for?
It's
different
sad.
Strokes for different folks.
I know. I like it up and down. You like it left to right. I know.
I am so dumbfounded by that statement right now. I literally...
It's like, how does that work?
I literally had a moment where my brain went, what the fuck?
Up and down. Left and right. We make the axis. I'm the complete opposite of you, because I'm this way and you're this way, but we have a parallel and a perpendicular angle.
I'm trying. You're trying really way too hard. So why don't we just move on? Because this is going to go way off into some direction that neither of us really probably intends.
Maybe.
Okay, so let's bring it back before we became the axis of gamitude.
Of sister gamitude. For one, there cannot be another. There has to be an opposite. Okay, let's stop, please.
You're about to make a Highlander reference, and I think we just need
they
to
They can only be two. Me and you, yay! I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Wow. Alright, so anyway, I don't hate the genre. I just like to make it known whenever I'm about to share any of my personal feelings about action RPGs. I like to throw out the disclaimer that I personally don't enjoy them. So people don't just
No,
think,
you like action RPGs, you don't like turn-based
RPGs. Thank you.
Yeah.
That I am not just being a, they suck. That's not what I'm doing. They're not for me. But as a person that does not enjoy them, I think the positive things that I think about them are cool to share. And I just try to stay away from the negative ones because it's not my genre. It's not my thing. So I don't think it's fair for me to be like, yeah, I don't like this genre and I'm going to throw salt all on this game because I don't like the genre.
Right.
I have some positive things to say, but I only learn them by watching people actually play through them.
Because like me!
I am not going to play through
but
them.
But I am.
So I got to experience the story
part
that
of
was
it.
Being unfolded as it. I watched Pandalicious. So basically, you were my watch.
I was your hands.
You were my playthrough. Yeah, just shush. Just shush right now. I think you should just go on, like, a shush for, like, 15 seconds. So you were basically my playthrough video on YouTube.
I was your Let's Play.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I will say that I have thoroughly enjoyed watching you play the game. It has actually let me get further along in any Final Fantasy game since really 7, because 7 was the last one I played all the way through, and I forced myself because I really, really enjoyed the story. But it, like,
it took a lot.
It did. It took a lot. You know, I think 7 was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like 60 to 75 hours. And to be honest, it took me 4 months. Because I could only deal with it for like 45 minutes at a time, and I would get frustrated, you know, and then I'd go back and I'd be like, nope, I need to grind because I'm not enough level. And, you know, because for me, with the turn-based stuff, I don't process the navigation wheel fast enough.
Right.
And so it slows things down for me. And,
well, of course.
You know, and that's where I think a lot of my frustration with the turn-based thing comes in.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're doing grind sessions, that's excruciating if you're...
Well, it can be. I mean, a lot of people really think out where they're going to grind. Like, I mean, if they're trying to farm for a particular element or monster component, as, you know, you can in this game and whatnot, knowing the area that you want to be in and knowing what kind of monsters you're going to run into, then you already know... You should have an idea of where the types of moves you want to do are. Mm-hmm. And you should already have a natural instinct of what you want to link up as your chain battle. Mm-hmm. And already have that in your mind going into a grind session. Or in any battle in a Final Fantasy game. So, I mean, if you haven't matured that and developed that, where everyone who's ever played one has a finite idea of what counters what, they already know that going in. But where you only jumped in at 7, you know, so there's 6 games where you have not built up that thought process yet.
Well, you know, because I played 3. I mean, really, my Final Fantasy experience
went three,
and I absolutely love 3. I did 3, and then I left, and I didn't come back until 7.
And then I think you heard me talk about 10 up the ass.
Yeah, and I rented 10 too.
I don't know why.
And then because everyone was talking about it, I was like, okay, I have to experience. You know, it's like a bad movie. You know, like Rotten Tomatoes, the things get the worst tomatoes. Like every once in a while, you're like, I want to see just like how
it's
bad.
Like how
this
bad
movie
is it? And then you're like, it's so bad.
Exactly. So that's kind of what happened with me with 10-2. Is I rented it. I had it for like a week, and I was like, holy
nope.
Mother of God. And so I took it back. But you know, 10-2 had the things. It teased the things that I typically enjoy, you know, the character designs and, you know, supposedly the customizations based on outfit, you know, that's right up my alley.
The dress cores.
Right. But, you know, theoretically that's right up my alley. So I'm like, okay, let me take a look at this because maybe the reason why people think it's so bad is because it's so not a regular Final Fantasy that they're used to. It might be the Final Fantasy that I'm looking for. But yeah, no, it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't. It was not. It was not even close. But it had, you know, the right type of character balance for me and things like that. So, you know, 3 and 7 were the only Final Fantasies that I completed. I thought about 11 for like half a minute.
Believe it or... Well, wait, the online 11?
Yeah. For like half a minute, because I was like, hey, Final Fantasy Online, that might be better for me because I could work in a party and maybe I won't feel so
overwhelmed.
And then, you know, the reviews started coming out and I was like, nah, that's not the one.
Believe it or not, they're coming out with a Final Fantasy game for the 3DS. I don't know if we're going to get it over here because it's really kind of like Japan's baby, but literally it's a rhythm-based game. So think...
Rhythm Heaven?
So think Elite Beat Agents.
What?
Yeah, kind of.
No. I don't need that game because I would play that.
But here's the thing. All the music is all Final Fantasy music.
I don't care. I love the score. I will play that. I will buy the shit out of that.
So you don't even do it. You just follow along and
you
match the pattern.
Dude, I will play the shit out of that game. We have to get it.
If it becomes.
No, it has to come out in North America.
So.
It has to because I will play it.
I know you would enjoy that.
You know,
sure.
so you know, that's kind of like my Final Fantasy experience. But I have to say that watching you play through this game was very enjoyable for me because the elements of what I love about what Square Enix does with Final Fantasy games doesn't change. They tell really fantastic stories.
Did it make more sense actually seeing it outside of me trying to explain stuff.
Yes. It made way more sense watching it.
That's why Square Enix gets the big bucks.
Exactly.
And I get the no bucks.
Get the no bucks.
All right. Well, then I might as well jump into it now.
Jump in and tell the people because, you know, I feel like I've done my job as your hype person.
Yep.
So I'm going to take a sip of my delicious beverage while Bev it up, people, about your Final Fantasy 13-2 experience.
Well, I know the several times that I've talked about Final Fantasy 13 on this game that I was like, I was concerned that it wouldn't be a game for everybody. And I knew it was going to be a completely different game from 13.
Yes.
And I was absolutely right about that. And I was absolutely thrilled about that. Only because after I played the demo, I went back to 13 and we all know, well, Esh House knows how upset I was going back into that.
Yeah. Rage quit!
Literally. Really. So what really hit it for me in this game? Because believe it or not, there have been a couple of people who have, you know, like Game Informer and the official Xbox magazine, both gave it a 9 out of 10, but for the completely opposite reasons. Game Informer was like, we love the battle system, you flushed it out, we like the gameplay, we think the story is really monotonous and melodramatic, and we get it, Square Enix, we get it. Whereas the Xbox magazine was like, we love the emotional pulling story. So this is where the subjective thought comes in, because we've got the same score for the exact different reason. So this game, like I said, is not meant for everybody.
Well, and I think that, you know, the thing that we all have to remember, and I don't think that we do a really good job of it all the time, is that the score is based on the reviewer. So if you have someone reviewing a game who is more about rich story, and you get a decent story, then it's going to resonate more with them, and they're going to get more points. It's going to get more points from them because that's what they enjoy. If you have a gamer that is really very focused on battle systems, nav systems,
the technical aspect of
exactly,
the game,
then those things being solid are going to get noted more and will weigh more heavily in. So you know, the thing that I think we forget a lot of times is that the review is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
I mean, even with us, one of the reasons why I like to state whether or not I like the genre or not before I talk about something is to let you know that that's going to slightly swing my review of it, because if it's a genre that I like, already it's going to get some points with me because it's a genre that I like. Where they'll get dinged is if they fuck up the elements of the genre that I like.
Right.
Okay, if they play up the elements that I like, then absolutely it's going to get a higher review. So, you know, you really need to take reviews from any place. From us, from, you know, the big guys at Game Informer and IGN and, you know, everybody else who puts a number system behind a game. You have to remember that that review is coming from the eye of the beholder. And so, you know, it is to each his own. It's kind of some insights, and you should really look at it as, okay, so this person also obviously enjoys battle mechanics. For me, battle mechanics are like 50% of the game. So if they're scoring it high and saying the battle system is good, then that's an indicator that for me, that since it's half important to me, then the review is going to be half important to me, because it's only really probably going to be focused on that element, you know? Right. So it doesn't surprise me, really,
no,
that their same score off of a 10-point system opposite reasons.
Yeah. So they're completely subjective, which, you know, I've always tried to pinpoint here on our show, is that you can't just go by one reviewer, because you might find the exact same score or the exact same pluses, but with a different, you know, consenting, you know.
Well, I mean, if battle system only means 10% to you, you may get in the game and go, wow.
Oh, no. No. The battle system makes a heck of a whole lot
to me. I'm just saying as a person, not you, Pandalicious. But as a person, if the battle system of any game only means 10% of my enjoyment.
So then you're not going to want to read a whole review that's only focusing on the one aspect that you're like,
It's not going to mean dick to me, because what I'm interested in is more than just that. And so, you know, you have to read more than one review from more than one source.
Yeah.
When you're doing, you know, research, if you're going to be jumping into a genre that you haven't jumped into before. Obviously, if it's a genre that you enjoy, you know whether you enjoy it or not. You don't need to do any research. You're already pre-ordering it.
Yeah.
But
you already did.
Exactly. You know, but for people who are jumping into a genre or are jumping into a franchise that they've never tried before, you absolutely want to read more than one review because that will give you a more holistic kind of impression of really what the game is and what the game is about. Because there have been times that I've seen Final Fantasy reviews that one person gave it a 9 and another person gave it a 4.
Yeah.
You know, because of whatever it is that they didn't do right, that means more to them in their experience than another thing. So
let me continue.
Yeah, Panda, actually get to it.
So one of the big issues that a lot of people seem to have had with Final Fantasy XIII was its protagonist, Lightning. She's cold, she's unforgiving, she's just so detached. Well, they only make you play her for maybe 15 minutes in the start of the game. So she is not a main, she's not a playable aspect to the game, really, but she is influential in what's going on.
Okay.
So I do not want to truly spoil this game. Oh. I do not. Oh. So I'm going to try to speak as bluntly about it as possible.
Leaving some vagueness?
I'm going to leave as much vagueness as Pandalicious ever really allows me to.
Oh, guys, dude, you're so screwed.
So,
spoiler!
So the game takes place 3 years after the end of 13.
Spoiler! No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, because a lot of people didn't finish 13, so they don't even know what the ending of 13 is. So it's not a spoiler because a lot of people didn't finish it and probably watched somebody who did. So 3 years after the climax and denouement of Final Fantasy XIII.
Are you throwing French in this podcast? What did I tell you about that?
There's some French already in Final Fantasy XIII.
I know, but what did I tell you about it?
I like it.
I said no French. Mm. Please continue. Unless they're French fries.
Or freedom fries.
No, French fries.
Anyway. Fries, so,
bite my ass.
So, through some mysterious entity.
Mystery.
Only Sarah remembers Lightning being present at the end of 13. Everyone else has this distinct memory, using air quotes here since you can't see me, that Lightning sacrificed herself towards the ending of Final Fantasy 13. So if you haven't played it, you don't know.
Spoiler!
So people are starting to now live on Grand Pulse.
Right.
Because the fallacy that was holding Cocoon up, because Cocoon was its own separate floating mass.
Mm-hmm. Cocoon was a thing. Floating.
Orphan is dead. And it kind of starts to break. And at the moment that Cocoon is falling onto Grand Pulse and presumably through it, Vanille, Fang, and supposedly Lightning use their Lassie powers. And I have to use that French because that's what they're called.
All right.
Into a giant crystal that wraps slightly around Cocoon, holding it like a pedestal. Well, through the mysterious entity, that does not happen, and Cocoon does fall in and through Grand Pulse. So now Cocoon is in it, looking up through the rest of Grand Pulse.
Yep. Whoops!
Yeah. So like I said, Sarah's got visions that Lightning was there. People think she's slightly crazy because no one else remembers her being there.
Right.
They do not remember it. And everyone's trying to go on with their lives, but Sarah's kind of holding back because she is so certain that Lightning is, one, alive, two, was there, and three, she wants to figure it out, but she's too much of a pussy to leave her new life to go and do that. Well, we all know Snow, or if you played 13, you know Snow.
Yep.
Snow was planning to marry Sarah, but then she turned into a crystal in 13, but now she's not a crystal anymore, and they were going to continue on with their wedding.
So complicated! Just to get married!
I know. Well, the thing is, they want Lightning's blessing. Sarah remembers hearing Lightning go, okay, but Snow does not.
Right.
So he's like, well, I'm going to marry you. I believe that your sister's alive, so here's my engagement pendant, because they don't do rings.
Right.
Which, whatever, I don't know. And he goes off in search to find Lightning. He's been gone since then. No one's heard from Snow because he's off trying to find Lightning. I was so hoping he would be dead because I didn't like Snow as a character. I didn't. There's my bias. But anyway, this one night in New Bodom, because, yeah, can't be in Old Bodom because it's on Cocoon and Cocoon is inside Grand Pulse.
Yeah.
They're building
Cocoon
on top.
Cocoon is in Grand Pulse, so it's New Bodom.
Yeah, so they're building New Bodom near the ocean. And one night a meteorite falls in New Bodom and all these monsters are showing up. That night, Sarah's clothes change, unbeknownst to her. I think someone snuck in and dressed her, but you see some golden thing around her. Mystical girl transformation while she's sleeping.
Oh, hey, let me tell you, magical girl transformation should always happen when you're sleeping.
That tickles. anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway, and with this meteorite that has fallen, so does this new mysterious character named Noel Kreis, who everyone's kind of like, who the fuck is he? Where'd he get his clothes? Because they don't look like their clothes. He's from 700 years in the future.
Future boy!
He's the last human.
He felt the last human?
He's like, the last.
Like the last scion?
Yeah. He's the last. No, he's the last human. Like, that's it. He is the end of humanity.
Well, you better start knocking some serious boots.
Well, here's the thing. He has the strongest drive, and he's solely is wishing for there to be a future with people.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're the last dude on the planet.
He was the last baby born, and people's lifespans were dramatically decreasing because the overflow of monsters and all these elements that were killing people.
Right.
So here's the deal. So
You are the last human.
Yes, he's the last human.
You possess the power of the glue. All right, go ahead. Sorry. I'll just continue to drink my juice.
Thanks. So, anyway, he has been sent back into the past to get Sarah, and he's been sent by Lightning. So Lightning is trapped, and I don't even like to use the word trapped, but Lightning is in an area called Valhalla, which is the unseen world. That's what it's being referred to in the game as I progress
through. As opposed to the
world that you see every
realm of the gods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all, if you guys know your history, your Norse mythology, Valhalla was the hall where all the great heroes and gods, you know, hero gods had, you know, hung out when they were dead. Like, yeah, they just hang out there, like, yo, what's up? Went. Hey, Bob, what's up? Hey.
It basically was their heaven. If you were good and you were a hero, you went to Valhalla.
It's like, I saw you take on that Cerberus. Yeah, it didn't end too well.
And then
I'm
basically
here.
Basically became revered.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a god.
Yeah. More or less.
But I mean, you're mixing your Norse and your French.
Yeah.
Surprise! It's Square Enix.
Well, here's the thing about Valhalla is that it's this a mass empty world, really. There's no one in it as far as your introduction to it is. Lightning is the only one there, but from Valhalla you can see everything.
Okay.
So she is seeing the future that has led up to Noel being the last human.
Sorry. Not gonna do it.
So she saw in the prophecy, and she has told Noel to bring Sarah to her. So I'm kind of thinking at first, because mind you, I have not completed the game. I'm pretty close. I'm in episode 5, and there's only 6 episodes.
I know, so you need to knock these episodes out, because...
Yeah, because I need to get this done.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Gotta make room for Mass Effect 3.
But she has sent him to go and get Sarah. So Sarah has some mystical power that may or may not help change the course of time itself.
Yep. She's special.
She's special. Yes. So you're pretty much just time traveling and you're resolving these paradoxes that are making certain things that should not exist in one time existing. So you're creating this loop.
You are these fixing, events. You're holes. Patching the wormholes.
Yes. Now, mind you, it's kind of bad to manipulate the timeline.
Yeah, sometimes you shouldn't spackle some shit, man.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is you know they've been sent to go and do this, but obviously by going and manipulating time, they are now changing other events.
Yep.
And there is a system in place, the security system person who is sent, you know, who is watching everything and is trying to stop your characters, Noel and Sarah, from doing that. Because it's forbidden to change the timeline.
So basically, it's Final Fantasy Time Lords?
Well, a lot of people are comparing the traveling back and forth into the future and past, very similar to how it's done in Chrono Trigger, if you played it. That's an RPG from way back. I doubt you played it, because
I did not play Chrono Trigger.
But anyone who has, they're comparing the time traveling back and forth and fixing stuff relating to that system.
I watched Chrono Crusade.
That a lot of people thought Chrono Crusade was going to be somehow related to Trigger, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's still good, but it's not.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is, you know, a lot of people don't think that the story is all that great. I haven't had an issue with the aspect, you know, the story.
I don't have a problem with time paradoxes.
I don't either. And the really good thing is, you know, they're letting you know that by changing something, you're not only changing the future, but you're also changing the past. So literally, you could be thinking you're doing the greatest thing for the future, but you're not necessarily doing what's best for the past. Like, you're not. You may or you may not. So, I mean...
Okay, my head hurts.
I love that idea.
Wait. Fucking up the present shouldn't affect the past because that already happened. No. Unless that past is another place's future. And then...
Ow. Exactly. Ugh. And I love that. I actually like the fact that I can't just go in a line and I'm fixing all these boo-boos and yay, great future.
No, see,
without the past being interrupted.
I like the past not being interrupted, because then if the past gets interrupted, the only way the past can be interrupted in a way that makes sense is that you have to now throw in parallel universes.
Which they're doing.
I know. I've been watching you. And that to me is frankly the easy way out of being like, and this is how we can actually justify what it's doing in the past.
I feel that their idea of parallel universes and paradoxes that influence all that is a way of saying, well, we could have done the game this way, but we weren't sure if you guys were going to like it, so we're putting it in.
I know,
but we're giving you a loophole to fix it.
Exactly, it's an easy out.
Well, believe it or not, later on in the game, and I haven't even tampered with this aspect yet, but eventually you will get the ability to close the time gates, because you go through gates, and the game is definitely not linear by any stretch of the imagination, so people can't be pissed about the linear shit, because it really isn't existing, because you're jumping between time. So you're going in a spherical motion, not a linear motion.
You're going like this with a circle,
and not like this that's with a line.
But you could go like this, which is a triangle, which then you would have the Deathly Hallows.
Anyway. Yeah, a circle, a line, and a triangle. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. Now I see you've made me lose my complete train of thought.
But it's not linear.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's spherical.
But I like the fact that whatever you're changing presently will have an effect on your past as well as your future. So Sarah might be going through this whole story wanting to get, you know, everyone believing the past as she remembers it, with lightning being existent. But maybe through the end of this, she's not going to get that. And that past is still going to stay this way, but other things are going to allow for Noel's future to happen. Or she'll get her sister back, but obviously, maybe through that process, Noel will no longer exist. But humans will. Which Noel has already perfectly stated that he's okay with him not existing as long as the world has people in it. Granted, I don't understand that, because wouldn't you want to reap all your rewards?
No, not if you're the hero in the truest sense.
Well, see, everyone, yeah, maybe. Anyway.
No, I mean, if you're going to be, you know, the true hero archetype, it has nothing to do with you. It is selfless, you know, if you want to, you know, go to ultimate good versus...
Bionic black gray heroes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going that way, then true, you know, supreme true is completely selfless.
He's Jesus. I don't know.
Was his name Noel Christ?
Yeah.
Well, then
Christ. There you go. Christ, Noel Christ.
Oh, because
new Jesus, new Christ, new Christ. Because Noel is new in French.
Yes, it is.
Holy shit!
You just had an epiphany.
Oh my god!
Mind blown.
Anyway, there are multiple endings in this game. So if you don't like the way your first playthrough is, they have now built in a system for you to go back and change it, and you can. And there are paradox endings.
Oh.
Anyway, I want to get back to the gates.
That's, like, so much work.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, that's because you are... masochist?
It's like, it hurts, but I enjoy it, so I'm a masochist.
Exactly.
No, but I really do like that, because you're filling a lot of stuff in the time, you're in your story, though, by giving yourself the ability to see how things would play out differently if you went left instead of right, which I've always liked. Because
because then that gets into the whole almost choose your own adventure thing,
which is kind of sort of that. They are giving you I think they're giving you the illusion of that, because obviously there's a true ending and then a paradox ending of this, a paradox ending of that, so there are multiple paradox endings.
Right, but they're really, you know, as far as actually getting through it, really only, what, three?
I haven't even completed it, so I honestly can't tell you that.
I think I read there's like three true endings and each of them have a paradox.
Yeah, they seem to.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I haven't completed the game in its entirety yet, but I'm pretty close to it now. To travel between each time thing, you have to go through a gate. And mind you, there are three different types of gates in this game. So you get gates that when you go through them, they become scorched gates. They're the ones that had the red and black smoke, right? Because I've already gone through those. So I already know where those are going to take me. Golden ones need a particular type of artifact, and I'll get into artifacts in a minute, that allow you to unlock them. So you can't just have any artifact. Like, a particular artifact works for a particular gate.
Okay.
And then you have your crystal gates, which can only be opened by an artifact, wild artifact, which... they haven't full-on explained what the wild ones are. You can find them scattered throughout the timeline, but sometimes entities like...
You gotta figure out where the wild ones are?
Yeah. Mm. You gotta figure out where the wild ones are.
Mm.
Sometimes they can be through small paradoxes that you fix, like little mini-missions in an area.
Okay.
You can get them that way. You can get fragments that way, too. There are 160 fragments in this game. I've got about 40 of them now.
Oh, you've been playing for, like, ever, dude.
And I'm going for all of them, too.
Like, oh,
I'm
not even fucking around. You don't always have to catch them all, people.
Yes, you do.
You don't have to.
I'm going for all of them. I'm going for all the paradox endings. But
dude, there are other games.
My point that I'm bringing up about the paradox endings is the way that you get them is... So, say you played through an area, and then you get the ability, the unlockable entity or little... trinket that allows you to close the gate. If you close a gate, it will reverse time to a certain point towards, like, the climax of whatever that chapter or that episode was, and allows you to replay it differently, which obviously will change the past and will change your future, which will then give you a paradox, another alternative option to what's going on. Now, mind you, I have access to all of them. So you can go to New Boredom year 3 and then go to New Boredom year, like, 207, and you'd still be able to play through them, but now it's unlocked all of them, so you can see the differences that have happened between every change that you've made, which I like. I really do. They actually do give you a free zone where you can just go and play and have fun. So when you're having a brain cramp from trying to figure out where you're going to go next, you can just go to Serendipity and just, you know, play Chocobo Racing or whatever.
Yeah, Chocobo!
Which I've unlocked and I've never been, and then I just went there. The battle system is really fresh, fast, and now you do not take damage by switching between paradigms, which I'm so thankful for because that has always been kind of an issue. They did bring QTEs back into Final Fantasy XIII.
Yay! Quick time events!
Called cinematic actions, which can do a lot more damage or can give you a competitive edge against a boss.
Yay! Competitive edge!
You get temporal rifts, which I've only experienced two of them now. Two types. And I think there's another type that I haven't had a chance to. And literally, you have a path to you to a gate. And you have to figure out how to get to the gate. Because the panels that you step on will disappear after you've stepped off them. So you can't just... And it's not like you can run straight. Like, they're just all over the place. And you have to figure out your pattern. Another one that they call the constellation ones. You have gems that are scattered throughout this mass. And they give you a shape that you have to recreate. So you have to connect dots.
Right.
But each of the crystals change every 3 seconds. So you have to be paying attention to what crystals are appearing where. Because you have to match crystal to crystal to make the points.
Again, this is sounding like so much.
It's a mini game, and I like it. So,
you know what a mini game is? Match game.
It is a match game. You're matching the crystals to make a constellation.
I know, but done with cards, and it's simple. It's like memory.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here, and then... But you have to do it within a certain amount of time. You don't have forever to
do
it.
Now you're putting time restraints on it and shit like that. Now it's not an enjoyable thing for my brain to do when it's not doing fights. Now it's work.
All the characters that we have seen in Final Fantasy XIII do somehow make an appearance in Final Fantasy XIII. I haven't seen all of them
yet. Did you say all the characters that we see in Final Fantasy XIII do make an appearance in Final Fantasy XIII?
I meant XIII. And all the characters that we have seen that were playable or, like, some type of major and minor character in 13 have an existence in 13 too.
There you go. Because I'm like, well, I should hope
so. Well, I hope so. Unless you have a broken-ass game.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't have any
characters.
Buying
the bootleg.
But not all of them have been seen yet. I know some of them will get some more expansion through DLC, because they're planning to release some DLC for 13.2.
Oh, Lord.
And I can't wait to see that. Oh, Lord. So, people, you have no reason to be upset with Lightning. I actually think that they've made her a little bit more warm in 13.2. Because, I mean, she is trying to, you know, see her sister and try to save humanity.
You mean, so, you don't have to be upset with Sarah?
No. Lightning, because people were pissed at Lightning because she was cold and unconnecting and unfeeling. And right. Now she has a little bit more. I'm not saying that she's completely warm like a Slanket or a Snuggie.
Oh,
like don't curl up with Lightning and expect yourself to get warm. That's not what's going to happen here.
Unless you're Sarah.
I'm just saying now that when you go to touch her, she won't be super ice cold. There'll actually be a little tinge of that lukewarm, like, it's not pleasant water, but you're like, at least it's not cold. And at least it's not scalding hot. It's like that. It's like, oh, I can put my hand in this. That sounds horrible.
All right. Yeah, it does. But, like, that's the worst way to describe
it. But I think that they did that so that now you can see why Sarah has such a strong bond with her sister, even though, you know, Lightning is not the warm, fuzzy, cuddly kind as Sarah is. So you have your dynamic between the two. If you mesh them completely together, I think you'd actually have the perfect woman. Which I think sisters tend to do that in life, I actually think.
Really?
Yeah. If you and I merge, I think you and I would be the perfect woman.
Well, I mean, duh.
So, and I mean, that's why they had to separate us, because a perfect woman could not exist in reality.
Yeah, the world's not ready to handle it.
A perfect woman, exactly. So I think that's what they've done in this case. I thoroughly enjoy it, and I see a lot of replay value in this game, and the downloadable content hopefully can only make that better.
Holy monkey balls.
So Square Enix has definitely done it.
Are you trying to say they put the foot in it?
They fixed their problems with 13, and they now have a really good basis to continue and show us the truth, what's really going on in this universe, instead of, oh, we have our ending, yay, humanity is saved, or yay, humanity is fucked, the end. Like, they're not doing that to you. They're giving you so much. You're like, oh my god, now I can understand how the world could end up this way, and it makes sense, and it not feel cheap.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yay!
I'll just say, it was pretty.
It was very pretty. And Hope is not a pussy this time!
I know, you're so excited.
I was like, oh my god, he's not whiny, and he's actually slightly attractive. Because of his brain. Because he's older now in this game, for people who played it. Because Hope was a whiny baby of a bitch in 13.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. But now he's older and wiser, obviously. And, yeah. So, yay!
Yeah, here's my 2 cents on the whole thing.
From what you saw.
From what I saw. The puzzle pieces of levels, I'll say, are definitely... just the right level of stop and make you think strategy and actual action pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, one of my major issues with, you know, Final Fantasies after 7, it always seems a little unbalanced to me how encounters pop up.
Okay. Well, I mean, they stopped doing randomly generated. Because the first few were randomly generated. You could be walking in an area and, oh my god, the screen broke, and oh, now we're fighting a monster. They stopped that in... I want to make sure I get this right. Because they started integrating having monsters just free roaming, so you could see them out in plain daylight. So it wasn't like, oh, the screen cracked and I'm now in a battle. Now you saw the monster and you're like, shit, I have to go that way. Which means I have to fight that monster. So it made you cognizant of the battles that you were... You saw all of them in this
open
field.
Well, it wasn't 10-2, because 10-2, you're still walking around as Yuna, and you take a step within the stream of it. Like, yeah. Oh, son of a...
So, I believe they started doing free-roaming monsters in 12, which actually a lot of people don't give 12 enough credit, because 12 was actually really good, and I liked their leveling up system.
Didn't even touch it.
I loved it. If I had a PS3 that had backwards compatibility, I'd play the shit out of that game. I would play it, but I don't have it, so I can't. Mm-hmm. It sits in my little undercarriage of my bed.
It's in your undercarriage.
My bed has under drawers, and they're in the drawers.
It's in your undercarriage.
It's in my bed's under drawers.
It's in your bed's under drawers.
It is.
Your bed has panties.
But, yes.
It's in your bed's
knickers. It's called a sham. Anyway, so...
Wouldn't that be its garter?
Yeah. Anyway. And then besides that.
Sorry, I'm thinking about
this. But they did it in 12, and people were like, oh, this is better than, you know, the rendering crap screen. Because it made it more real time.
Right.
So a lot of people were like, yay, I kind of like this. And then they brought that over into 13, and 13, you know, as we all know, kind of sucked syphilitic dick.
Kind of.
Yeah. But some people were like, still going to touch it.
I haven't seen you rage quit an RPG.
I don't.
Yeah.
I've never. Never.
Until
going back. And the thing
is, okay, even Lost Odyssey, you didn't rage quit.
No. Because Lost Odyssey is a perfect RPG. And it's heavily text-based. Like, and bitch doesn't like to read most of the time. I'm being straight.
Truth speak.
And the fact that I did not care that when I unlocked a dream that I read the whole thing. And one of them, one of Seth's, you know, the chick, one of the chicks, it was such a long-ass dream. And I was like...
She dreams in detail.
Yeah, and that particular dream that unlocked for her, like, literally, it had three parts. And I was like, shit, nope, it's really good, gonna keep reading. It's like, I've been reading this for 30 minutes and I'm still not done. Okay, every... First word. Do I like that paragraph? No. Next. And I started speed reading at one point. But even though it was heavily based, the battle system was great. The customization or the things that made everything different, it all worked. So, I mean, Lost Odyssey is like my perfect example of an RPG. A JRPG as opposed to a Western one. But Square Enix, you know, you guys did a really good job with this. And I'm glad that you fixed your problems. You saw that you showed some ass. Excuse me. And now you want to cover it up. You don't want any more Kraken showing. I appreciate it.
CYA. No plumber's crack.
Yeah. So good for you. I don't want to give it a rating right now because I haven't completed it, nor have I done even one paradox ending. And I want to do at least one of each before I even put a number on it.
Which we don't do numbers.
No, but, you know, the M&Ms or the...
No, we don't do M&Ms.
We don't do the...
We stop... Have you actually been engaged in what we do?
Yeah.
M&Ms went away year two.
Oh, I...
Because I was the only one doing them.
Oh. No, because now it's buy, don't buy, or wouldn't suck as a gift, right? No, buy, rent, or wouldn't suck as a gift. See, I remember. Just, it's filed incorrectly in my brain. But anyway, I don't want to do a buy, rent, or wouldn't suck as a gift because I haven't completed it yet. And until I've done that, I don't feel it would be right of me to pass judgment. But I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm enjoying my time. So, I mean, it looks favorable now. They would really have to do some serious fucked up shit in these last two episodes for me to change my mind. But yeah, that's Final Fantasy XIII in a nutshell. Brought to you by me with very little to limited spoilers.
Did you get it on the PS3 or Xbox?
I got it for the PS3. Why? Only because I got the first one on the PS3. And I'm a collected... If you're going to give me a game that's a trilogy or it's going to be a multitude, I'm going to stick to the console that I got it for originally. Like, I mean, granted, Gears of War was an exclusive, so there was only one console I could have gotten that from. But if I had the choice...
What about Revelations?
I don't have Revelations. I only have Brotherhood.
I know.
And I only got Brotherhood because my sister was really nice and gave it to me.
Yeah. So what about Revelations?
If I went and got it... So magically, I got a job that allowed me to just frivolously spend money for like...
No, the reason why I bring up Revelations is I finished it.
Right.
I have it on the Xbox 360. Would you play it?
I'd have to go... Are the controls relatively similar? Because
nearly identical.
Then I would not have a problem with that.
So it's more about... The controller layout?
If the controller layout is completely different, it's like relearning the whole... It's like relearning the game again. So, I mean, like, if I had played Assassin's Creed 2 on the PS3...
No, but you didn't. You played 2 on the Xbox.
No. I never touched it. You played it, and I was thinking about playing it, but then you're like, well, by the time you go and you actually get into this...
Which platform did you play 1 on?
I have one for the Xbox. I have it for the Xbox. And
so you hopped.
I did. Because I played that and I was like, this is crap. I was like, I don't want to climb on things and jump. I'm like, I could do that in real life and die, and that would be the end of that. I wouldn't have to do it multiple times.
Into haystacks.
Into haystacks, because there's no way you could survive a fall like that in a haystack. Or a bush of roses. Fuck that noise real loud with a megaphone. So yeah, I jumped because I'm like, that was crap. And then I didn't play 2 at all. You played 2. And then you talked about Brotherhood, and I'm like, all right, I could kind of play that. And then 2 boxes arrived, and you had one for the Xbox, which are like mine. I'm like, can I have this one? And you said yes, and I said yay! And I played the shit out of it, as you know, because I beat it before you did.
Right.
And you saw the truth because of that.
Right.
But then when this one came out, you were getting it for the Xbox, and I really kind of wanted to buy it, but, you know, being that I'm in a really awkward place in reality right now, I did not...
Mean you broke-ass bitch.
Yeah. I couldn't afford it, so I was like, I'll just watch you play, or maybe come downstairs and play on your Xbox. No, which I did not. No, because you beat it, and then I saw the ending. So...
Oh, that's right. You were with me when I went through the ending.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was helping you go through the weird portally level.
And then I was pissed that we couldn't go through the ending again.
Yes, because they've made that a one-time...
So pissed about that.
But anyway. But yeah, so yeah, in that regard, I hopped. I did. But I haven't purchased any others. Because I think I
so
would...
So then what are you going to do with the last one? Because you know the last one drops this year. Drops 2012.
I'm going to watch you play it. Because then I would have... Because if I really wanted to really be true to myself, I would, one, have to go and buy one on the PS3. Because it was crap and I didn't play it, so I would just be buying another empty game just to have it for my collection.
Dude.
But I would buy it, I'd get 2, I already have Brotherhood, so that's good. I'd have to get Revelations, and I'd have to play them all.
Dude!
I'd have to play them all.
Ugh!
So no, I won't.
Don't make me make the peanuts noise!
But regardless, in regards to Final Fantasy, since I got Final Fantasy 13 on the PS3, I wanted to stay true to the console that I got the first one for.
Right.
I did the same thing with Demon's Souls, even though technically Dark Souls is not its true sequel, but it's
in the family.
Mm-hmm, yep. So I bought it for my PS3, even though there is an Xbox counterpart.
Yep.
So yeah. And that's what I'm sticking to it.
Okay. All right. I respect that.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
If I got Batman Asylum and Arkham City, I would have gotten those probably.
Don't even talk about Batman, because I literally put it in your fucking hand.
It's in my to play pile, which is near the TV.
Yeah, really? Really? And when is that going to happen?
Soon.
Because you keep talking about DLC and things like that.
It's going to be a while before the DLC comes out for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so how fast are you hopping up out of Final Fantasy?
It's a slow...
Because we have a new show next week. You can't be talking about Final Fantasy next week.
No, and I won't be.
So what's up?
I'll be talking about Resident Evil Revelations for the 3DS next week.
Oh, all right. Well, as long as it's something new, because you know...
Yeah.
How I feel.
Yep.
About that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yay!
Yay! Check out all the stuff that we write about on our website. We will be sure to include some links to some of the stuff that we've talked about, which you can find at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address will bounce to the long address. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes. Go search us out, please.
That's right. You can go to the iTunes Music Store or find us in the Zune Marketplace by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting that beautiful little subscribe button, which will ensure that you will get our podcast the moment that we put them out upon the internet for consumption. Because, you know, that's what you want to do.
But if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS feeder or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, then you should be looking for everybody else who flies underneath our banner.
That's right, because we are not the only things that make up the Land of Esh. Oh, no, 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 no.
Au contraire, mon frère.
What did I tell you about the French?
Sorry.
While our new episodes typically go out on Mondays, you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast. Found conveniently through links on our website.
Links.
But they are basically the flip side to our podcast. It's dudes with testosterone also talking about games and gadgets and anime, but also music and movies and theater.
They have more vaginas than we do.
Sometimes.
Theater?
Dude, there's nothing wrong with theater.
No, but...
And sports and... manly shit. Like that
when they barbecue.
They do, and they compliment each other on the meat.
No homo.
I'm not even going there. On Wednesday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Geek Aggro podcast held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild, where you've got gadgetry things going on, as well as gaming, some PC stuff. You know, I mean, it's just
a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Exactly. They're going to hit you with a little
All flavors the geek.
Exactly. And then for the rest of the week, well, we keep your nerd needs taken care of. We provide. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on
YouTube with my videos.
Yes. YouTube.
With my videos.
We've got, you know, photos on Flickr, although I've got a batch of stuff from E3 that I still
have. A batch?
A batch of photos.
Oh, sorry.
From E3 that I need to finish cleaning up and actually upload to Flickr. So you can interact with us on all those things. Facebook.com/Land of Ash. You can get with us. We answer questions. You can recommend things for us to check out, to talk about for the show.
Tell your friends about us and like us on Facebook.
Seriously, like
us
on Facebook.
We need more friends.
We need more likes.
Please.
We know you like us. So like us if you like us already. Duh.
Like my status if you like Land of Ash. You didn't see my face, but I did the face.
You did the face. You can follow everyone that makes up the Land of Esh from my Twitter page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. That's got everybody on it that I know about being down with the Esh on it, so you should do that.
Get some Esh on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, careful.
Yeah, be careful now. And you can check out our magazine, which you can actually buy print or digital from landofesh.com, as well as easily have aggregated all the stuff from our respective websites with, you know, some newness actually around the corner.
Newness!
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yay! So, finally. Finally, it's happened for us. We got off our lazy asses to write articles.
I can't lie. Truth speak. So with that, Panda, what shit are you digging this week?
The Fet Flea in Rhode Island.
Of course.
Because I was there on Friday.
Why am I not surprised?
Yay. That's all I'm going to say about that. No spoilers.
What happens in Rhode Island stays in Rhode Island. Is that what we're
well,
saying?
Well,
until the photos come out?
Until the photos get released later on today. By today, I mean Sunday, not Monday.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Okay.
What are you digging this week?
I am still digging my IDJ Live. I gotta tell you, I'm having a lot of fun with that thing.
Touching those knobs?
I do. I like twiddling knobs. I said it.
You like scratching them beats?
I like rubbing them round circles. Yeah. Have fun with that sound bit. I haven't given out a dirty sound bit in a while, so I figured I would. But no, I'm really having a fantastic time playing around, figuring out how to actually scratch and mix, and I'm really enjoying it. It is a lot of fun, so I'm digging it. You will probably see a much more in-depth review and probably video, not this month because I'm still getting my groove on, but very soon you might
we'll put some green screen in it.
You might see the rise of DJ Ninja. Just saying, it may happen.
Yay!
So, with that, as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we will see you next week.
We promise.
You know what time it is?
No.
Time to bust a rhyme?
No.
It's hammer time?
Hammer. Put me in the mix.
Nope.
No.
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 Time to get ill?
Okay.
Yay! Beastie Boys. Okay. I'm not dating myself or anything like that.
What?
You know, like dating myself as being a child of the 80s by talking about...
Oh,
you know,
I was like, how
time
can
is
you...
it? It's time to get ill. Beastie Boys.
Oh, no, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
See?
No, because when you said date, I was like, how can you date yourself unless you were
alone? Dude, I take myself out on dates all the time. Like, hey.
It's like, I love myself so much, I'm taking myself on a date.
Hey, girl, I know you had a hard day. Let me get you some dinner.
Oh, my God. Yep. All right. Pump the brakes. I didn't need to... I know we do that, but I didn't need to see you reenact that. That's a private moment between you and yourself. That's an A and B conversation, and I'll see my way out of that. Okay.
I'm just saying, you know you've done it. Like,
yeah.
You know,
and you know,
my feet hurt. I don't feel, you know what? I'm going to treat you. Come here, girl. I'm going to take you out and buy you some chicken.
Well, I mean, if my feet really hurt, I'd be like, girl, you have been in a chair all day. Let's go get a mani-pedi.
Yeah. Come on, let me take care of them feet.
Oh, okay, stop.
Just stop it.
Don't you speak.
Your face is getting so pink right now.
That is awkward.
It's adorable.
I don't like it. Can we get on with the show, please?
Oh my god, you are like seriously turning pink.
I can't. Oh, it's awkward. It's so awkward when other people do it.